Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. We'll read verses 9 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. First Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, though the weather outside's a bit dreary and a bit raw and cold, Lord, what a great spirit we have here in our church. Presence of the Holy Spirit, warm friendships, Lord, just the family influence. The Father, please be with our preacher, fill him with your power, fill us with your power as we listen. Lord, change our hearts and our lives so that we could help more people, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to help some people who may not know that they need help. Satan is much smarter than you think. Satan is more sly than you think. Satan always has a unique twist of deception up his sleeve. Satan has fooled the best. He may be in the process of fooling you right now, and you don't even realize it. Today's warning from the scripture, it's tucked in there, but the casual Christian would miss it unless somebody pointed it out to them. Satan has a way of getting you to work against yourself, and that process may be taking place in your very life at this very moment. I ask you a question. What is your strength? I want you to examine yourself for a moment. Don't want you to tell anybody. But in the privacy of your mind right now, answer the question, what's your strength? What is it that you would say, this is my strength in regard to my Christianity? This is something that I feel like I've grown at, and I have I have a stronghold in this area. I'm going to let you mentally for a moment brag on yourself. What is your strength? Now, from time to time, in the privacy of your mind, you may want to refer to that strength as I teach you this morning and preach to you. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, it uses the words, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What's the Lord saying? He is saying, let him that thinketh he is strong take heed lest he fall. He is saying, let him that thinketh he is mature take heed lest he fall. He's saying, let him that is strong not become proud of his strength lest he fall. Your strength, folks, our strengths could quickly become our weaknesses. Your strength could become your downfall. Your strength could become your failure. Your strength could become your enemy. And that is the title of my sermon this morning. Don't let your strength become your enemy. You see, I recommend to you this morning that you keep an eye on your strength. It may destroy you. You hear that? Keep an eye on your strength. It may destroy you. You say, but Brother Owens, I thought you'd recommend that I keep an eye on my weakness. I think you already do keep an eye on your weakness. And we're so busy watching our weakness, our strengths, sneak up behind us and can be used against us. I think you do keep an eye on your weaknesses. Most people fear their weaknesses, but they don't fear their strengths. They therefore beg for God's help in that area of weakness. They know their weakness is their enemy. They stay alert to their weakness. And you know what? If you had any spiritual sense at all, you would be running from your weaknesses. We stand guard about our weaknesses. It's then our strength that Satan could slyly use against us. It's almost as if our weaknesses, we throw our spiritual energy into them, and we are virtually distracted in caring for our weaknesses to where the enemy can sneak up behind us and attack our strength. We didn't think that our strength could become our enemy. I've watched many strong Christians fall, and it was not their weak area that got them. It was their strong area that got them. Think about it. Do you think that Satan is thrilled when a man falls in his weakness? Well, he may be glad of it, but I'll promise you this. Satan is more energized when you fall in your area of strength. Yes. See, to fall in your area of weakness, the devil kind of gets a first down, to use some football terminology. But if you fall in the area of your strength, the devil gets a touchdown out of that.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. To fall in the area of your strength gives Satan a far bigger victory. So, whatever area is your strong area, then you have to understand, that's the area of your influence. Most people are not influential in their weak area. They're influential in their strong area. So to fall in your strong area is to hurt more than you. It then hurts the credence, or that stamp of approval that your strength has placed on a given truth. You see, when your strength ends up causing you to fall, the devil says to everybody around you, that strength right there, that's not such a good strength. But wait a minute, that was a good strength. The devil's trying to dilute everyone around you. When your strength falls, he wants to dilute everyone's opinion of the strength. Whatever area is your strong area then is probably your area of leadership. The devil wants to destroy your leadership. The devil wants to destroy your leadership influence. The devil wants you and your followers. Again, we don't have a lot of people that follow us in the areas of our weaknesses. We have people that follow us in the areas of our strengths. And here you and I, we're always on guard of our weaknesses. I've got this weakness. I know it's there. I've got to be intense about it. I've got to fix it. All the time, we're letting our strength out here not get some attention. The devil comes in the back way and he says, you just keep working on your weakness. I'm about to use your strength to stab you in your own very back. If you have a telephone, you need to turn it off during the preaching. It's far more important that your phone, that whatever's on there, you just listen and help me. Pay attention this way. If your strength becomes your weakness, it would put a question mark in everybody's mind about that strength. More than the devil wants you, he wants to hurt the truth that has made you strong. That's what he's out to do. See, there are a lot of reasons, there are a lot of ways that your strength could become your weakness. Your strength could become your enemy, if you will. That's what I call the sermon. Don't let your strength become your enemy. Your strength could become your enemy if you assume it's your strength. You've heard the verse before, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Folks, we better remember something. Our strength comes from God. If God has strengthened you, but you take the credit, your strength has now become your enemy.
Right.
You shouldn't take credit for your strength. You should give God credit for your strength. But if you now have a strength, and now you're taking credit for that strength, suddenly your strength has become your enemy. Your strength becomes your enemy when you don't recognize the source of your strength. There's another way. When you think you're strong and it's because of yourself, your strength becomes your enemy. Hey, your strength could become your enemy if you stop growing your strength. You hear that? Your strength could become your enemy if you stop growing your strength. For your strength to remain strong, it must be maintained. You feed it with obedience. For your strength to remain a strength, you must continue to work at it. You must exercise your strength like a muscle. So, you see, if I'm assuming my strength and not giving God credit for it, my strength has become my weakness. If I stop feeding and growing my strength then becomes a weakness. Paul said this. Paul said it of himself in Philippians 3:12, he said, not as though I had already attained. Now, Paul was the greatest Christian on the face of the earth at that time. I believe, other than Jesus Christ, Paul was the greatest Christian in the New Testament. And Paul said of himself, Paul, who was used by God to pen 13 books of the New Testament, Paul, the virtual epitome of Christianity in the New Testament, said, not as though I had already attained. What was he saying? He said, I have not stopped growing my strength. I have not arrived. Why? Because if Paul stopped growing his strength could become his enemy. It could become his weakness. Your strength could become your enemy if you're deceived into believing that your strength will not be the devil's target. You get that? Your strength could become your enemy if the devil has deceived you into believing that your strength will not be the devil's target. That's what I'm trying to tell you here this morning. We all think the devil's coming after me. He's coming after my weakness. He knows my weakness. So what do? We say, I'm going to work on that weakness and work on that weakness and work on that weakness. And then we let the strength get out of hand. And the devil says, you're out there. You're ready to fight about that weakness. And you're ready to put your dukes up about that weakness. And the devil said, you just keep your dukes up. You keep after that weakness. Because I see your strength is getting out of hand. I'm going to come around behind you, and I'm going to attack you in your most vulnerable area. You say, my weakness? No, your strength. Your strength. When you think you have a stronghold and can't be beat in that area, take heed lest you fall. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. That means be serious-minded. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's out to get you. You thought he was coming after your weakness. Oh, and he may. But I'm going to warn you a little bit today. He knows you're going to guard your weakness. He knows you'll let your guard down around your strength. There's somebody in this building. You will fall in the next 2 or 3 months, not into the area of your weakness. You will fall into the area of your strength. Ephesians 5:15 says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What's that mean? Be on guard as a wise man, even about your strong areas. Folks, let me tell you, whether it's a strength or a weakness in the Christian life, we need God everywhere. We need God everywhere. You say, well, I've got this one area. I'm powerful. Watch out. That's where He's coming to get you. Watch out. Your strength could become your enemy if you stop praying about your strength. See, your strength can become your enemy if you stop asking God for the strength that makes that area your strength. You know, there's some, you prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it. Boy, you build up a resistance and you build up a strength in your life. And you said, look at that, I'm strong in that area. So you took all your prayer, you started investing it in a weakness. Now you're no longer praying about your strength. And in essence, your strength has become your enemy. Your essence and your strength has become your vulnerable area. Your strength could become your enemy if you perform it in the flesh instead of performing it in the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. You and I are to do what we do for God in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what happens to us? We start getting good at what we do. Now, at first, when God gave us a duty, at first when God gave us a responsibility, we would go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, oh, Spirit of God, help me. Oh, Spirit of God, I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. So He comes and He makes you strong. But you begin to learn how to teach Sunday school. You begin to learn how to run that bus route. You begin to learn how to witness. You begin to learn how to sing. You begin to learn how to lead. And now you've forgotten. Now you've got some training. So you don't think you need the Holy Spirit anymore because now that's your strength. You can do it without Him. So you turn all your emphasis to a weakness and you take now what is your own opinion strength and you say, I'll just let that be. I won't walk in the Spirit while I preach. I won't walk in the Spirit while I witness. I won't walk in the Spirit while I teach my Sunday school class. I won't walk in the Spirit as I sing in front of the congregation. And the devil says, I've got you. You thought thought I was coming in the front door at your weakness. I'm coming in the back door of your strength, and I'm going to nail you, and I'm going to take you down, not because of your weakness, because you have let your strength go. You see, your weakness is something you guard. Your strength is something we physically and emotionally and spiritually begin to think, I'm okay in the area of my strength. So there's a lot of ways that you and I could allow our strengths to become our enemies. And it is God's warning that you may fall in the area of your strength. It says here in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now the areas you're most apt to think you're going to stand are the areas of your strength.
Right.
So that verse there is telling you, watch out for your strength. It could become your enemy. Your strength could become your enemy. Your strength could become your enemy. And I'm not telling you to take your eye off your weakness. I'm telling you, you better watch what's coming at you from up front. You better watch what could be coming at you from behind. The devil's sly. He knows what he's doing. I've thought through this a lot. I doubt that there's many people, maybe one, maybe two, that would understand or know what I'm talking about. But I believe this. When I was a young man, there was a man that was old, 15 years, maybe 12 years older than I. I went and heard him preach at a conference and then at another. This young man had the power of God on him. This young man, when he stood to teach, his spiritual logic was pristine. I mean, he could take that truth that seemed deep and hard to understand, and the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he would unfold it in such a way that people understood it. He was a pulpiteer galore. He was a fine organizer. He was a builder. And I mean, I'm telling you, this young man had it all. And the truth of the matter is, this young man, the wisdom that he had was so far beyond his years, it was incredible. Anybody that was around him, anybody that heard him, anybody that seen him, anybody that knew him said, wow, this is incredible. Almost hard to believe a man at that age would have so much power and so much strength and so much wisdom with God. He was so wise. I mean, he was like a young Solomon. I was amazed. He was so wise. I heard him preach a sermon. And in that sermon he said, if I ever fall, I will fall in this area. And he wasn't predicting his own fall. He was just wise enough to know his strength and his weaknesses. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe the man that I'm talking about should be leading fundamentalism right now in America. I believe the young man that I tell you about had everything it took. When we lost to Lee Robertson, when we lost to Tom Malone, when we lost to Jack Hyles, there was a man that had everything that it took to step up and become a leader to help the fundamental old-time movement in America. But he's not the leader of fundamentalism today. He worked secularly as a salesman in a southern state, and he's almost worthless for the cause of Christ. He stood up in a sermon. I heard him preach it, and he said, I believe if I ever fall, I will fall in this given area. Can I tell you something? That's the area in which he fell. What had happened? His strength had become his weakness. I mean, he's wise. He was very wise. He was so wise, he was wise enough to predict his own downfall. And he did. I don't know if he's ever analyzed it. I don't know if he even realizes it. But as I think about it, I think of a man. He did not fall in the area of a weakness. He fell in the area of his strength. Let me warn you, Christian. Don't let your strength become your enemy. I think I can help you to understand the truth more. You stay with me now. Let me give you some illustrations in the Bible. Let me show you some people in the Bible. And I think as you see it, you'll say, you know what? I didn't really notice that right there. But that is what happened. You're going to find out most of the people in the Bible that were great Christians did not fall in the area of their weaknesses. They fell in the area of their strengths. For instance, Peter, the Apostle Peter, Peter's strength of boldness became Peter's enemy. Peter's strength was his bold stand. If you know anything about Peter, Peter was not afraid to stand up and be counted. Peter was not ashamed to say who he was. Peter was something. You look at the story of Peter. Jesus asked Peter in the Scripture, he said, "Whom do men say that I am, Peter?" Peter didn't back off a bit. Peter boldly said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You say, "Well, that's what I'd say, Brother Owens," but you have to understand something. At that point, everybody in history had been waiting for the Messiah. They had been waiting for the predicted one. They had been waiting for him to be born. We're talking about Jesus is finally, after thousands of years of prediction, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, the Messiah, the Savior had arrived on the scene, and the Savior saying, "Peter, who's everybody think I am?" You're going to have to understand, back then everybody thought, "Hey, this Jesus guy, what kind of kook is he? He comes along and says he's the Son of God. He comes along and says he's God come in the flesh. What kind of kook is this guy?" Well, he was the predicted Messiah. And Jesus said, "Peter, who do you think I am?" Peter speaks up. He said, "Sure, God, Son." That was a very bold statement to be making at that moment. He said, "You're God's Son. I'm stepping out. I don't care what any religious people say to me. You're the Son of God." Oh, wow. What strength, Peter. Whoa, show us your stuff. Peter was the one, Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me." And Peter stepped up and said, "Everybody else may forsake you, but I'm going to die for you." Peter said, "I'll show you. I'm going to put up my strength. I'm not going to betray you. I'm not going to deny you." Peter, he was bold. Yes. Peter's strength, what was it? His boldness. In an effort at one point to protect Jesus, we find out that some people came to arrest Jesus and to question him. Peter has his sword strapped on, Malchus, one of the priests there, comes up, and Peter pulls out his sword, and they say, "We're coming to get Jesus." Peter hacks off this guy's ear. What was he? He was bold. Peter was outnumbered. There were all sorts of people with all sorts of swords and all sorts of weapons. And Peter said, "Watch this. I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to take my stand." He takes a stand and said, "I believe you're the Son of God." He takes a stand and says, "Everybody else might deny you, but not me." He pulls out a sword and he said, "I'm going to whack your ear off, buddy. You stay away from Jesus. I'm here to protect him." Let me tell you something, folks. You better be on guard. Because the next thing you know, Peter's strength became his enemy. You know what happened? His courage backfires. Next thing you know, Jesus is on his way to be crucified. And the Bible says Peter is following Jesus afar off. He's warming himself by the devil's fire. And then up to this point, I don't think there's really a big, big problem. But somebody says, a lady says, "Hey, Peter, are you with Jesus?" And he said, "I don't know." What? What happened to that boldness? Somehow, his boldness now has become his weakness. Peter blatantly denies knowing Christ, and his strength has now became his enemy. Let me ask you a question, Christian. Are you bold for Christ? Do you show no fear when you're standing for him? Are you known for your boldness? Are you known? Hey, when you go out soul winning, are you known for being bold and assertive? Are you known? Hey, you say, "I stand. I'm going to stand for the Bible. I'm going to stand for right. I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'm going to stand for separation. I'm going to stand for all those things. I'm going to be bold." Watch out, Christian. Your strength has the possibility of being transformed into your weakness. You better guard your strength. I've watched people with those kind of strengths turn around, use their strength and attack their own church. Right. Tell you, we have got to watch not only our weaknesses, but we better watch our strengths. And I'm going to promise you, you look at the failures of the greatest Christians in the Bible, they did not fall in the area of their weakness, they fell in the area of their strength. Now, I want you to understand something. You better stop and realize your strength. You better look at that strength and you better say, "I'm not going to let that strength destroy me. I'm not going to let that strength get the best of me. I will not let my strength get out of hand." I know a man, very capable man. He grew up around the church, and his family, he began working on a church bus route. And to be honest, on that bus route, that man, he was a builder. I mean, he learned to organize and lead people, and his route grew, and it grew, and they ended up splitting it because it grew so much. He was every bit a builder. He knew how to build. Let me tell you what ended up happening to the guy. He became such a builder, it landed him a real good job in the secular world. And before long, he didn't have time for his bus route anymore because he's so busy building and building and building now in his new secular venture. And it got to the point that he wouldn't come to church faithfully. He stopped reaching people. He stopped building. And what had happened? He was no longer building anything for God. He was just building his kingdom here on earth of his own. What had happened? His strength became his spiritual weakness. His strength had become his weakness. Are you bold for Christ? Guard your strength so that you don't use it against your church. If you say, I'm a bold person and I know what I'm doing, watch that now. Keep an eye on it. You could hurt people with it. And so you be careful. Watch your boldness. Hey, let me give you another. You take Solomon. If we all debated Solomon's strength, you would very, very quickly say, Solomon's strength was his wisdom. It's his wisdom. You know what happened? I believe Solomon's wisdom became his enemy. Solomon, he started out so wonderfully. Solomon, there's some two ladies were living in the same household. Both of them had infant babies. One rolled over in the night and smothered her baby to death. She goes and steals the other woman's baby and claims it for her own and places the dead baby back in the other woman's bosom. Now, the real mother has a dead baby that doesn't belong to her, and the fake mother has a living baby that doesn't belong to her, and they can't figure out how to solve this thing. They're both brand new born babies. They take them to Solomon and say, Solomon, well, what do you do? What are we going to do here? This woman says the living baby's hers, and this woman says the living baby's hers. Solomon said, well, let's just lay the baby down here. I'll cut that baby in half. I'll give you half, and I'll give you half. Somebody said, how crude. Immediately, one of the mothers said, oh, no, don't kill the baby. She may have it. Solomon said, that woman right there is the real mother. The other would allow the baby to be cut in half. He said, I see the compassion and the love of the real mother, and the real mother would have wanted somebody else to have the baby, and the baby lived, and the baby be cut in half. The lack of compassion on the other mother's part proves to me she's the thief. And everyone said, wow, look at the wisdom. And God came along and said, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? I'm going to take care of you. In 2 Chronicles 1:10 it says, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? God says, Solomon, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to reward you. And Solomon, you know what he asks for? Solomon says, I'll take wisdom. That's what I want. He didn't ask for money. He said, give me wisdom. God said, I'll give you what you want. He didn't ask for power. He said, give me wisdom. He did not ask for influence. He said, give me wisdom. God gave him wisdom, and wisdom became his strength. Wow. And what strength? The great Solomon. Oh, you look through the book of Proverbs, and you look at the decisions and the wisdom that's there. He was known as the wisest man on the face of the earth. And the next thing you know, you see that wisdom deteriorating, and that wisdom becomes his enemy. The next thing you know, he, thinking he knows best, he unwisely forms alliances with ungodly people. He unwisely marries women who worship false gods. He unwisely becomes greedy for gain and leaves truth out, and he just wants to get ahead in life. His strength of wisdom virtually becomes his enemy. The very one that was telling people how to be happily married is now married to hundreds and hundreds of wives that mess up his life and mess up his walk with God. What happened? A man of wisdom, his strength has now become his weakness. His strength has become his enemy. He got to the point where he thought he knew best, and he started stepping outside the guidelines of what God thinks is best. He said, I can handle this on my own. I've got a wisdom about me. And God said, you had a wisdom about you when you needed me. And now your wisdom has gone to your own head. And that you thought you were wise about, you're an idiot, Solomon. That's what he did. What happened? His strength became his enemy. Be careful, your strong mind could become your worst enemy. There's some of you, if you're not careful, your education is going to take the place of faith. You say, well, I read this in the Bible and it doesn't make sense to me. Just so you know, it doesn't need to make sense to you. It needs to make sense to God. And you need to put your education aside and say, if God said it, I believe it. I don't believe that junk about a whale swallowing Jonah. Then you're calling God a liar. If the Bible said it, it's true. It's true. Well, I know, I just happen to know that a whale's throat is not big enough to receive a man. Well, maybe it was a big throat, and maybe he was a little man, but it really doesn't matter. Because if God said it, it happened. You better watch out. You say, my strength is my education. You might be educated beyond reality in the spiritual realm. Listen, do you feel so well educated that hardly anybody can teach you anything? You know what's happened then? Your education has become your enemy. Your strength has become your enemy. Has the strength of your IQ become your enemy? I know a man. He was, well, virtually too smart for his own good. He could not control his own intelligence. You could not have a common conversation with him. Virtually could not win someone to Christ. Couldn't talk to him. So uncommon. No, can I tell you all something? We all need to keep enough common sense about us that we can live in this world. Be careful that your education does not become your God. What happened to Solomon? He drew it in. God blessed him. God blessed his mind. God blessed his reasoning. God blessed his wisdom. But he never got too big he ended up getting too big for his own spiritual riches is what happened. So, in the story of Peter, Peter's boldness became Peter's enemy. What happened? His strength became his enemy. What happened? Solomon's strength of wisdom, he had a strong mind, he had strong mental ability. What happened? It virtually became his weakness. You know, we're quick to guard ourselves in the area of our weakness. Very quick. We say, that's my weakness, I better watch out for that. You know what we do? We put up fences. And we separate, and we're careful, and we're saying, I don't want to go there. I want to be careful of that right there. Oh, watch out for that. I'm willing to admit that right there could get me. If I were you, I'd admit today your strength could get you. The best Christians in this house right now, the best Christians here, I'm telling you, you better watch whatever you're best at. You better watch. Because the devil's pretty slick. He knows what he's doing. While you're busy fighting for your weakness, the devil's going to come around behind you and say, I got you. Oh, you've been busy thinking I was coming from that direction. I am going to get you. You're going down, buddy. And when you go down, it's going to be in the area of your strength. And I'll take everybody that you could have influenced and that you were influencing as a result of it. I'm going to take you down, and I'm going to take you down hard. Because you'll be so humiliated when I get done with you, you're going to have a hard time climbing back up. You've let everybody know that's your strength. Everybody sees that's your strength, and you just fell flat on your face in the area of your strength. Let me tell you, when you fall in the area of your weakness, it's not as humiliating as when you fall in the area of your strength. It's harder to climb back up when you've been knocked off your high horse than when you've been knocked off your low horse. So I'm warning you, watch out. Your strength can become your enemy. Your enemy. I will not say this of myself. I wish it to be true, but I'm working on it. My pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, was alive. He said, Jeff, you have a great love for people. He said, you love people and you love them very deeply, and you're every bit a man of a second chance and a third chance. He said, you are so patient, and you give people that extra chance. He said, but I want to tell you something. Don't let that strength get out of hand to where you give up your convictions. He said, because that love will cause you to want to let things go that ought not be let go. And there are times when you have to stand up and you're going to have to stand on your conviction and stand on what's right. Don't let your love soften you to the point that you lose your love and your commitment to the Word of God. I'll tell you, it's a constant battle for me. I hate disciplining anybody or anything. I hate it. I don't like to discipline. I don't like to correct. I don't like that at all. But I'll tell you something. We've got to stand for what's right. And we can't dip our sails because we love somebody that's wrong. Watch your strength. Your strength could easily be your downfall. Your strength could become your weakness. Your strength could become your enemy. We see it in the story of Peter. His boldness. We see it in the story of Solomon. Are you noticing? These are great Christians. And these are not people that fell in the area of their weakness. They're people that fell in the area of their strength. Abraham. What was Abraham's strength? Most of you would know. He's known as a great man of faith. Abraham's faith. Abraham was known for his great faith in God. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. What had happened? God said, I am going to take you away from where you live. I'm not even going to tell you where you're going. And Abraham said, fine, God, I'm just going to follow you. You don't have to tell me final destination. You don't have to tell me where I'm going to live. My wife and I, we're going to get on board. Just send us and we'll go. And they went. And Abraham went down in history as a man of great faith. He had a powerful faith to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a place and live. But he didn't even know the final destination. And God brags on him in the New Testament. Hebrews 11, he's in the hall of faith there. Romans chapter 4, verse number 3, it says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God said, Abraham, you have such a powerful faith. Nobody would doubt the statement, Abraham's strength was his faith. Written all the way through the Bible. Faith is the strength of Abraham. Wow, what strength. Historical faith. Faith that went down in history. The epitome of faith. We all look to Abraham's faith. Next thing we know, Abraham's strength becomes his enemy.
Yes, sir.
Abraham and his wife Sarah went to Egypt to sojourn because there was a famine in their country. Sarah was a very beautiful woman. Abraham loses his faith in God's ability to protect him. You see, so what ends up happening is they're going into Egypt and Abraham, he's got a beautiful wife. And Abraham says, you know what? If you and I, Sarah, we go down into this heathen land, the Pharaoh there, he's going to see how beautiful you are. He's going to want to take you to be his wife and he's liable to kill me to get you. Abraham loses his faith in God's ability to protect him and Sarah. And he says, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's just lie to everybody. And we're going to tell everybody you're my sister. Well, he did. He lost his faith in God's ability to take care of them. Now look, they started out and they went from one land to another. Didn't even know where they were going, possibly surrounded by millions of the enemy. And he had his faith. Now his faith becomes his weakness. He doubts God's ability to protect him. And what ends up happening? He does go. He does lie about Sarah being his wife. The Pharaoh says, you know what? I want her to be my wife. She's your sister. The Bible says a plague came on Pharaoh. And a plague came to those people. Why? They found out that that was really Abraham's wife. And they said, why do you do this to us? And Abraham suddenly realized, where's my faith? You see, his faith had become his enemy. His faith had become his weakness. Could your strong faith, you ever heard that old saying, there's a fine line between faith and stupidity? You better be careful. You say, well, my strength is my faith. I've watched many pastors whose faith has gone to their head and they stepped out and they took on too much financially, for instance. But I'm a great man of faith. Well, there's a little common sense and reasoning that goes in with some of that. And if you're not careful, your faith can become your weakness. And I've watched many go too far thinking they're great men of faith, but their faith ends up making them crumble. I've watched Christians. I've watched young businessmen. Look, it may take a step of faith for you to launch that business. It may take a step of faith for you to do something big for God, but you better make sure that spiritual faith, and that's not you having confidence in your faith, but you having faith in your God, and there is a difference. You see, when my faith is all about me, and look at me, and my faith paid off in the past, and my faith is strong, and my faith is exemplary, you better be careful about that time the devil comes along and said, I've got him set up so much, His pride so high about his faith, he thinks I'm coming after his weakness. I'm going to nail him right in the faith button. Could your strong faith turn into weak stupidity? What's your strength? Devil's slick. Devil's sly. Abraham's strength became his enemy. You ladies, think about it. How do you feel about a husband that says, I'm not claiming you? Let's tell everybody you're my sister. I'm going to guess Sarah lost some faith there too. I'm going to guess the whole family did. I'm going to guess everybody around us said, well, what are we doing? Oh, we have such great faith. The great faith had become an enemy. The great faith had become a weakness. That which is strong has now turned on the Christian and became their weakness. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that that ye are able. Listen, don't let your strength be your enemy. Don't let your strength become your weakness. You see, Peter did it. Peter was very, very bold. And his boldness ends up virtually becoming his enemy, and it becomes his downfall. The devil knew where to hit him. Solomon's strength was his wisdom, the strength of his mind, and Solomon allowed his strength to become his weakness, and the devil said, I know right where to hit you. You think you have so much reasoning power and so much logic and so much ability, you'll stop making your decisions according to faith in the Word of God, and you're going to launch using your own brain. You're now educated beyond your own spiritual ability to perform. Thirdly, Abraham's strength becomes his weakness with his faith. Everybody knows that that was his strength. Everybody knows it. How about David? David's strength became his weakness. Oh, let me give this to you, speaking of strong people. There were three guys talking in a local restaurant. The manager was so sure that his waiter was the strongest man around that he offered a standing $1,000 bet that nobody could beat his waiter. The challenge was that the waiter would squeeze the lemon until all the juice ran out into a glass. Then he would hand the lemon to any customer. Anyone who could squeeze even one more drop of the lemon would be the winner of the money. Over the years, many people had tried this. Truck drivers had tried it. Weightlifters had tried it. Karate masters, but they all failed. Then one day, this geeky little fella with heavy black-rimmed glasses came into the restaurant and asked if he could have the challenge of squeezing the lemon after the waiter. Everybody laughed. And after the laughter subsided, the restaurant owner said that it was only fair that the man be given a chance, and so the bet was on. So the waiter squeezed, and he was done, and handed the geek the leftover lemon. And the geek started squeezing. Once he squeezed, four drops of lemon juice came out of that lemon. The geek had squeezed four drops of lemon out of that thing. Everyone looked on in amazement. The landlord handed over the $1,000 and said, well, what do you do for a living, geek? What in the world? Well, where do you get all the strength? Are you a lumberjack? He said, no. He said, are you a weightlifter? He said, no. He said, what do you do for a living? Well, you can squeeze to that point. He said, I work for the IRS. It's worth waiting for. We got there. In the passage that we've looked at today, God said, I'm not only warning you about your weakness, I'm warning you about your strength. He said, you just take a good look at Peter. Peter was one of my champions, and Peter had great boldness, but his boldness became his enemy. He said, you look at Solomon. Solomon was one of my champions, but Solomon's strength of wisdom became his enemy. You look at Abraham. Abraham was one of my champions. Abraham's strength was his faith, but his faith became his weakness. It became his enemy. David had a strength. David had a strength of pureness of heart. But it became his enemy. The Bible tells us that David was a man who wanted a heart just like God's. It says in Acts 13:22, it says, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. David had a passion to have the heart of God. David, as a young man, was known as a young man with purity of heart. Pure enough that the power of God came upon him one day, and to protect his father's flock with his bare hands, he was able to kill a bear. Purity enough that the power of God came upon him one day as a young man, and when that power came, he killed a lion, once again protecting his father's flocks. He killed a lion with his bare hands. Hey, young David was pure enough in heart, and God blessed him in his very, very young days in his youth. Hey, like none other, you check and you'll see that there was a purity about David that brought a blessing from God very, very early in his life. And one day, Goliath, the champion, had stood up against Saul the king, and David shows up on the scene, and we all know the famous story of David and Goliath. God looked down and said, that boy right there has a pure heart. He is after the heart of God. Pure enough that God used David to play his harp and write many psalms. Wow, what strength of purity. What a pure heart. Someone that seeks after the heart of God to the point that they go down in history in their youth for purity of heart and seeking God. Then the next thing you know, David's strength became his enemy. David is now a grown man. His men are in battle, and David comes home. He goes to his housetop. The next door neighbor lady is out sunbathing. She's nude, and he looks over, sees her, lusts after her, and takes her unto himself. And bang, his strength has become his enemy. Did he fall in the area of his weakness? Oh, he fell in the area of his strength. Everybody would have said, what? David has such... He desires the heart of God. He desires the purity of God. Then he takes Bathsheba, who did not belong to him, and it unfolds, and he ends up lying and scheming and kills her husband. And he, who had the purest of hearts, now has a very dirty heart. It's no longer pure. Hey, some of you, some of you young people, let me warn you. Young people, that purity that mother and father have tried to help protect in your life.
Yes, sir.
The devil's shooting at it. So, a couple of you, you've already gotten it. Your parents don't know it. That's your strength. And you were reared right. And you were protected, and you were in the Christian school, and there were rules, and everybody watching for you and spying on you to keep you pure. But it's gone now. Because you believe you're so strong, don't worry about me in that area. The one area they say, don't worry, it's not going to happen in that area. They were reared too well. The devil came along and said, I've got you. And you've already made the dip. You've already made the fall. Listen, we've got to protect ourselves, not only in the area of our weakness, but in the area of our strengths. Do you see how this device of the devil is? Do you see it? Once again, look at David. Did he fall in the area of his weakness? Oh, I think he fell in the area of his strength. Did Peter fall in the area of his weakness? Oh, he fell in the area of his strength. Did Solomon fall in the area of his weakness? Oh, he fell in the area of his strength. Did Abraham fall in the area of his weakness? Oh, Abraham fell in the area of his strength. Hey, at the beginning of the sermon, I said, what's your strength? To watch out. So, well, brother, once I thought you were going to tell me about, you know, those weaknesses of my past life that I'm always worried about. Well, I want to tell you they're there and you better protect yourself. But I'll tell you this, you better watch out for those things about which you think you're strong. They're more apt to get the good Christian.
Right.
Knew a young man. He's probably about my age. Tremendous preacher. Tremendous speaker. Boy, he could sell dancing shoes to a man that didn't have any legs. This guy could just sell it all. But you know what? He began to use that ability to maneuver and manipulate people. And it destroyed him. His strength became his enemy. Ended up out of the ministry, building a big firm up in Chicago, died of AIDS. What happened? His strength became his enemy. You know, the Bible's full of these type of illustrations. I could go on all day The Bible is full of the greats that did not fall to their weakness. They fell to their strength. You take the Apostle Paul. Paul, whose strength was teaching of the grace of God. You look in the New Testament, he takes a lot of time saying you are saved by grace through faith. You're not saved by your works. You're not saved by the law. You're saved by grace. You know what happened to him in Acts 18:18? Paul's been going everywhere telling everybody, you're saved by grace. He turns around and he takes a Jewish vow. He fell in the very area of his strength. You take Moses. Any of you that know the history of Moses? Moses was known as the meekest man on the face of the earth. How did he fall? Lost his temper. Threw a fit, started beating on a rock that he was told to speak to. What had happened? His strength became his enemy. That meekness became that which was done away with, and it kept him from going into the promised land. Paul fell in the area of his strength, not his weakness. Moses fell in the area of his strength, not his weakness. You look at the story of Elijah. What was Elijah's strength? His courage. Do you know Elijah? Do you know he fought 450 false prophets of Baal? He called fire from the sky. He had a soaked offering of a bullock and a wooden offering place. The altar there, God sent fire from the sky. Elijah, you talk about a man that had courage. He stood up and he said, this is what's going to happen. What happened? A woman went after him and he ran, put his tail between his legs and he ran and hid. What happened? His strength became his enemy. His strength became his weakness. Paul's strength became his weakness. Moses' strength became his weakness. Elijah's strength became his weakness. Samson. What was Samson's strength? He walked in the Spirit. It is said of Samson more than anyone else in the Bible that the Spirit of God has come upon Samson. How did he fall? He walked in the flesh and reached out to Delilah. His strength became his weakness. You know something? There are women in here. You have personality. Your greatest trait is your personality. It can be used tremendously of God, but it will be used to seduce a man whose strength was purity. You hear that? Great personality. Very persuasive. You have persuaded someone that believed in purity and they've lost their purity and their strength has become their weakness because you used your strength and it became a weakness. It's exactly what happened with Samson and Delilah. Look at Noah. What was his strength? He was a builder. You know what happened? Noah builds an ark and puts up with all the junk that goes along with being a builder, and then he gets on the other side of the flood. He uses his building ability, builds a vineyard, and gets drunk off the grapes. Commits incest with his own kids, probably. What happened? His strength became his weakness. He said, I've got this strength. Watch out. Better examine yourself. Go ahead and examine your strengths. You say, well, I've got a lot of them. Then you better realize the devil's got a lot of targets. Listen, if it happened to the greatest Christians in the Bible, couldn't it happen to you?
Right.
Do you have the strength of longevity in this church? I've been here a long time. Has your strength become your weakness? Have you been here so long that you won't let the new pastor lead you?
Good.
What's happened? Your strength of longevity has become your weakness because you won't let the pastor who God appoints guide you. Happens all the time. What is it? A strength that does what? Becomes your enemy. It becomes your weakness. I know a man who his strength was his character. Very capable. A man of integrity. A man of hard work. A man that's dependable. So much so, he had no tolerance of anybody that didn't have any of that. Hurt everybody. Critical of everybody. People didn't like him. People were afraid of him. And he was his character had gone so much to his head that he couldn't lead anybody because he couldn't tolerate anybody that didn't have it. Everybody was lesser than he. And he never did what he could have done for God. You see, your strength can become your weakness. Your strength can become your enemy. You stay with me a couple more minutes. Now, let me reverse it real quick for you. Did you know that your enemy could become your strength? Your enemy could become your strength. Your weakness could become your strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let me tell you right now, there's some of you say, this thing right here's got me so weak. It is probably the thing that's keeping you closest to God. There's some of you, if you did not have the burden that you have right now and it was not keeping you on your knees, you may be a drunk whore somewhere. Weakness in an area can become a benefit to you. You say, but Lord, I'm weak in a lot of areas. You have a chance of being strong in a lot of areas then. We guard our weaknesses. The more spiritual perception you have about weaknesses, the more apt you are to get God in on them. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10 that his weakness became his strength. His enemy became his strength. Why? Here's what happens. When you have a weakness, you call upon God to help you. Well, guess what? When you call upon God to help you, suddenly you become strong, not because of you, but because of Him. Your weaknesses have the potential of becoming your strengths if you keep calling upon God. Your strengths have the possibility of becoming your weaknesses because you don't call upon God. So your enemy or your weakness could be developed into your strongest point. You see, let me tell you, if your weakness becomes a strength, did you know that God gets more credit out of that? If God takes your weakness and makes you strong in that area and you succeed in that area, God gets the credit. But when you have a strength and everybody knows it, then God's probably even struggling with you getting credit for that one. Let me stop. Let me apply this to salvation for a second. Somebody in here, you're a good person. You do good deeds. You care about people. Matter of fact, you do so many good deeds and you're so kind and you're so gentle. You don't think you need a Savior, because when we tell you you're a sinner and you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved, you're going to say, I'm not really a sinner. As good as most of those saved people are. Oh, wait a minute. Has your goodness become your weakness? You need the Savior. And I don't care how good you think you are, you're still a sinner. And if you don't get born again, you're going to die and go to hell. You say, well, I'm offended with that. Then your goodness is going to send you straight to hell.
Right.
What's happened? Your strength has become your weakness. Your strength has become your enemy. Somebody comes into this church and says, well, I've been in church all my life. I was reared in church. My grandpa was, a reverend, and my grandma, and they're all buried in the backyard down at the church. And I say to you, you've got to be born again. So, well, I've been in church all my life. And I say, you've got to be born again to go to heaven. Well, I'll tell you, I know every song in the songbook. You see, the problem is there are people who are religious but lost. You say, I'm pretty moral, I'm glad. But you got to be saved even if you're a virgin. Say, I've never cheated anybody out of a penny in my life. That's fine. You can be the most honest person on the face of the earth. You got to be born again. And what can happen to us is our goodness can become our enemy in the area of salvation. You need a Savior. So don't let your strength of morality or your strength of goodness become your enemy. You must be born again. Today it was my goal to help people who did not know they needed help in an area that they did not recognize help was necessary. In the area of your strength. Watch it now. Watch it, Christian. And you don't forget, when you look at the list of people's names who I called, and we showed you how those people did not fall to their weakness, they fell to their strength. I'm going to guess the devil's out to get you and I. If the best fall to it, then the rest of us are potential victims. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to get born again. You need to put aside all your religion and put aside all your goodness and say, I'm a sinner, I'm going to the Savior, I'm going to let Him do the saving, I'm going to just let Him save me, and you can get born again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.